Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Israel just notified the UN about an imminent attack against Iran for their ballistic missile strike against Israel just the other day. Welcome over to the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being sponsored by Prize Picks. Now, to quote Israel, what exactly they told the UN is imminent and will be very strong and painful. Now, that is just a series of statements that Israel has been making to the UN over the last 2 days. According to this article by Reuters that was published yesterday, Israel said in the UN, Israel will defend itself, we will act, and let me assure you the consequences Iran will face for their actions will be far greater than they could have ever imagined. That is from Israel's UN ambassador, Danny Danon. What's actually going to happen and what the hell is Israel thinking? Because today we also learned Israel ended up launching an airstrike directly outside of a Russian military base in northwestern Syria, taking out a Hezbollah munition supply depot fresh off the plane from Tehran. So is Israel like trying to go to war with the whole world? Because last time I checked, they just invaded Lebanon. And no, I don't think they're going in with the whole world. Everything's tied together. We're going to get into that. We're going to explain it. And then I'm going to explain to you what I believe Israel is going to do as long as they don't launch that attack while I'm filming this episode, which is about 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, there is a huge fear that Israel is going to be going after oil tankers off of Karg Island. All right. That is like this big, massive fear that they're going to end up going over there and taking out this oil supply. People are calling it low hanging fruit and it'll teach Iran a lesson. Plus, it's a valid military target because, you know, they could refuel warships and things like that with all this different oil, and it takes an economic blow. Well, here's the problem is that Iran already said if Israel attacks them, they're going to respond and it's going to be even worse than the last time. And they said, and I quote, unconventional munitions. So what are they going to do? What is Iran going to actually do if Israel goes over and strikes? Well, the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is very simple. They're going to end up blasting Israel everything they have in order to teach them a lesson. Over inside of the Middle East, you have this saying, essentially, that violence is currency, i.e., the only way you're going to get respect is through violence. You are not going to win them over with humanitarian aid packages and handing out soccer balls. That's not how this works, despite what some U.S. military generals might tell you. Now, keeping in mind that this is pretty dang late at night over there, but I want you to look at this. We have just a couple planes over Iraq, and it looks like most of them are heading into Baghdad. Okay. Other than that, we actually are starting to see a lot of air traffic, not so much over Iran. Most of the time we have a solid stream of aircraft pouring right down over here on the western side of Iran, but they currently not. We've got a lot going back and forth from Mashhad. By the way, the Iranian, the IRGC freaking headquarters for the IRGC's Air Force is actually based right out of over here up in the northeast corner. But additionally, when we look at where those rockets ended up coming out of Iran, it was in this place called Isfahan that we know for sure. Okay, just right outside of it over here in this area on the map called Natanz. Forget how to freaking properly pronounce it, but that's also where a nuclear site's at. And then when we go down over here into the southwestern portion of Iran, right where it meets up with the Persian Gulf, there's Shiraz. We know for a fact that we had ballistic missiles launched out of there. Why do we know that? Well, because open source information showed us the ballistic missiles being fired. Iranian civilians were literally filming these ballistic missiles as they were flying. So down and dirty, here is my opinion on this. Number one, Israel is going to attack Iran. It's going to happen. Number two, if Israel does in fact attack Iran, they better make sure that they do it with overwhelming firepower and knock down Iran's ability to defend itself. They have to do it. Now, here's something really intriguing that a lot of people don't think about. A lot of us know that we are currently funding a lot of the war taking place over inside of Ukraine. What a lot of people don't know is how absolutely depleted the U.S. ammunition supply is currently. Check this out.
The Ukrainians are running out of ammunition. The ammunition that they call them 155 millimeter weapons. This is a war relating to munitions and the running out of that ammunition, and we're low on it.
That was Biden responding to why we sent cluster munitions over into Ukraine last year. Well, guess what? The situation hasn't changed. We still suck at producing weaponry. As a matter of fact, we attempted to ramp up our weapons production, but we still haven't met that goal. Just so you're aware, Ukraine on average is shooting somewhere around 1,000 to 7,000 or 8,000 artillery shells a day, depending on supply and the pace of the battle. With that being said, there is absolutely no way the US is going to be able to keep up with that amount of production. Now, why do I say that? Because the US has attempted to do that in the past. As a matter of fact, currently we're only producing right around 40,000 155 shells a month. Why do I bring all of that up? Because he literally just agreed to supply Ukraine with gliding cluster bombs, or glide cluster bombs, over to Ukraine. Want to see proof of it? Fine, I've got that for you too, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an article from ABC News. Let's give a little short excerpt of this thing. And again, keep in mind, this was published on September 26. It says, get out of here, you nasty ad. It says, for the first time, the U.S. will send Ukraine a joint standoff weapon, a glide bomb known as JSOW, to enhance Ukraine's long-range capabilities. The variant being sent includes cluster munitions, according to U.S. officials. So what does that tell you? Well, if we listened to Joe Biden last year, we were running out of actual HE shells, 155 HE shells, and now we're sending over cluster bombs. Let me ask you a question. How much more munitions do you think we can continue to supply to Israel and continue to supply to Ukraine if we can't even keep up with Ukraine's own consumption rate during the war? Now, to be fair, the EU is just surpassed a little bit more than what the US actually supplies to Ukraine. But as a whole, the US supplies a buttload of munitions. And guess what? We're running out. Why do we know that? Joe Biden said so. Now, the US has been pushing for peace over in the Middle East, actually telling Israel that they want to engage in peace talks with Hamas, and they called for peace with Lebanon, not Hezbollah, whatever. That is what it is. But Israel decided to open up a whole new front over inside Syria last night when they ended up bombing this airbase, which happens to belong to Russia. Now, why did they do that? Very good question. I'm so glad you asked. Let's go over the map and check out why. Here is Beirut. This is Lebanon. And down here we have the famous Israel, the little green devil, according to Iran. Well, a lot of the Hezbollah munitions and supplies have been getting flown in from Iran into Beirut. Israel finally caught on to that and let them know they're not allowed to do that anymore. As a matter of fact, multiple aircraft have attempted to land at Beirut. I have personally caught two of them where they have been turned around. Now, the reports that ended up coming out of Lebanon said that Israel ended up hacking into Beirut's like FM radios that they're contacting or talking to the freaking pilots with, and ended up telling the Beirut airport, if you allow that plane with those munitions on it to land, we're going to bomb the plane and we're going to bomb the airport. You are no longer going to be allowed to do that. What do you know? The plane turned around, flew its butt back to Iran. Saw the same thing happen just like 2 days ago with a plane out of Istanbul. They turned that sucker around as well. What the rumor mill is that Iran tried landing weapons at this Russian base. And last night, right around 3:40 in the morning local time, Israel decided to act. Here you can see the munitions warehouse literally cooking off rounds. While all this craziness is going off over the Middle East, it is still football season here in the United States. And guess what? Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. And when you sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5, you don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. How about that? It's guaranteed. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, so your lineups stay in even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return, Prize Picks keeps your lineup live. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. I love using Prize Picks because it helps me stay connected with my kids. My kids love sports. I'm not a big sports fan, but it gives me a way to interact with my kids, and they're always coming back to check up with me to see how well we did. Ladies and gentlemen, download the app today and use code ROB to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. What are you even waiting for? Download the app today and use code ROB to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Now, how do we know that's what happened and that's where that airstrike took place? Glad you asked. Syrian media actually started reporting on this incident, and Syrian media is the one that told us that the Russian military base got hit. But as it turns out, it looks like it was just a warehouse over outside of the Russian military base. But it is still being said, unconfirmed by the way, that that plane did in fact land at the Russian military base, and that Israel likely watched those rounds move into that particular depot before Israel ended up knocking out all of those Hezbollah munitions supplied to them allegedly from Iran. Now, this is a very good job geolocating. I've got to give credit. I did not do this myself. Here you can see how they ended up figuring out the buildings, where they were at. They ended up using all of these different terrain marks and terrain features to determine this next piece right here, and it shows it going out. All right, so there you saw the launch location. There is the base itself. One more time as it goes out, you can see it. The place it was being filmed from all the way to the base itself is about 3-ish miles. Now, with that being said, it kind of looked to me from that video that, well, it is just slightly outside of the airbase. Turns out that is actually correct because there is a bunch of civilian houses and stuff like that on the other side, or excuse me, civilian structures that are over there on the other side. What's Russia going to do about it? Good question. Truthfully, I have no idea, and I highly doubt they're going to respond in general. Reason I say that is because Russia's foreign minister ended up stopping over in Iran, like literally, quite literally the day before Iran opened up with ballistic missiles on Israel. Now, here is a bunch of Russian munitions that were found over inside of Hezbollah tunnels and strongholds inside of Lebanon just in the last couple of days. Israeli special forces have gone across the border pre-invasion of Lebanon and actually grabbed up a bunch of this munition. And in all of the stockpiles they are finding over there, I'm constantly seeing old Russian surplus. So, not just Iran, it looks like, but also Russia has likely been supplying and or selling these weapons to Iran. Now, Russia has been dealing with Iran for quite some time due to the war in Ukraine. Russia has been purchasing the Shahed drones from Iran. Additionally, there's S-300s that Russia ended up supplying over to Iran. And I saw unconfirmed reports today that Russia is going to be supplying Iran with the upgraded S-400 air defense systems. How about them apples? And they're doing it just in time right before Israel launches their attack against Iran. Now, Israel's ground operations over inside of Lebanon are continuing. As a matter of fact, they issued out a new order today for people to evacuate from Iran, and Israel has been taking casualties. This video is allegedly of medevac flights on their way out of Lebanon, all right, going back into Israel. Allegedly, Israel had warned a bunch of residents in southern Lebanon to get the heck out of Dodge because they are coming. I have yet to see Israel drop a bunch of leaflets or put out warnings that tells residents to leave. Now, that's very important to understand, and here is why. Israel had originally said that they were going into Lebanon for limited operations in order to stop cross-border attacks from Hezbollah. Israel said that Hezbollah was planning a raid across their border in order to kill a bunch of civilians and take hostages and go back to the other side. Well, with that being said, that was Israel's like original goal when they crossed the border to go into Lebanon. But I believe that goal has changed, i.e. the post has been moved back. And when I say back, I mean back to the other side of the Litani River. As you can see here, these are all of the locations in which Israel warned residents of Lebanon to pick up and move out. Now, originally, they had just said that they were going to go and do a limited incursion. So right up here, right where I'm circling this cursor, that's where Israel said that they were going to cross the line. This is the Litani River, right? That's UN Resolution 1701. Hezbollah is not supposed to be below it, and they're supposed to be disarmed. Not want to talk about that, though, but you're only talking about 3 to 5 kilometers at most from this point of incursion that Israel went until they reached the Litani River. Now, all of these locations down south, this Israel has yet to touch. They have, again, made limited incursion. The Israeli border ends up coming down here. We know they crossed the border in a couple different locations all the way up and over here, but they've been pushing deeper. And on the first day that Israel had crossed the border, we didn't see any casualties. At least none were reported. But on day two, we ended up getting word that numerous IDF service members had been killed, and we saw a video of them being medevaced over to the other side. Today, we are getting more reports of IDF troops being killed and wounded inside of Lebanon. Now, I can talk to you more about that if you would like, but truthfully, it's taking away from the point at hand, which is Israel's pushing deeper into Lebanon. They are going to, they have to, in order to meet their overall strategic objective all right, and operational objective, which is the safety and security of Israel. They want to be able to return the residents to the north, but on a much broader scale, they want to make sure that Israel is safe from future terror attacks. They can't do that by just doing a limited incursion over into Lebanese territory and smacking Hezbollah across the butt and saying, don't do that again, because they most certainly will. And because of this coordinated attack against Israel, and yeah, I said coordinated, because at the same time that those ballistic missiles were launched from Israel, there was also an active shooter inside of Tel Aviv and a rocket attack from Hezbollah. That means the IRGC, Hezbollah, and Hamas, who claimed responsibility for the active shooter, are all still coordinating amongst each other and have the ability to pass information from the top down to the lowest levels and coordinate attacks with Iran. That's a problem for Israel, and they're not going to put up with it, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you that. They're going to go even harder into Lebanon. They're going to push even harder into Syria. And I would expect within the next 24 to 48 hours that Israel does, in fact, launch a retaliatory strike against Iran. The only question is, how strong will it be? My personal advice, my personal thoughts, is that Israel needs to launch a freaking attack big enough so that Iran cannot respond. That's what they need to do in order to guarantee safety and security for the Israeli people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless, ladies and gentlemen. I am out of here.